Romans 2:4. We'll start with Mark 10:18. Jesus is speaking. If I can clear my throat. And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God." And then, if you'll turn over to Romans 2:4, "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, knowing not that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" I want to talk to you tonight just for a little bit about the goodness of God. The goodness of God. But before I preach, I want to ask, if you will, Brother Rudy, pray for me tonight. Amen. "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" Amen. Mankind is totally absent of goodness. Right. All mankind. Everyone. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All were, like David said, sin did my mother conceive me. We were born sinners. That's our nature. Right. That Adamic, rebellious nature. So we can't do good. Even when we try to do good, it's usually through another motive that we're doing it. Some kind of selfish motive that we might try to do good. Everyone's totally depraved and everybody needs goodness. I say this all the time, now don't misunderstand me. I don't think all people that claim to be Christians are Christians. I don't think that all churches that claim to be churches are Bible churches. But could you imagine where the world would be if there were no professing churches? If there were no professing Christians, much less the real ones, what kind of world would we be in? Amen? Now, goodness must be sought. Amen. It's not natural, so if we're going to be good, we're going to have to seek goodness. It doesn't come naturally. And the only way it can be sought is through the goodness of God, through a relationship with Jesus Christ. He asked him, he said, "Why you call me good? There's none good but one. That's God." So what he was saying is, if you recognize that I'm good, you must recognize that I'm God, he's saying. You understand that? Because outside of God, there is no goodness. So if you look at God, we like to think of his personality as love and grace and things like that. But part of it also is God is good. That's what he's made out of, goodness. There's no evil found in him. It's just goodness. Everything God does is good. Everything. We don't always see it that way. We may not even agree with God that it's good, but in the end, it's good. And we like to quote Romans 3:20. But listen to this. Some would look for his goodness in religion. Some people, that's the only place they look, is in religion or in theology. But I got to think about it. There's a lot of ways we can see the goodness of God.
Amen.
There's ways you can see the goodness of God and not even know the Bible. Romans 1 says the heavens and creation declares the glory of God and the goodness of God. So I got thinking about that. So turn to Psalm 139, verse 14. Psalm 139, verse 14. "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." So I think the goodness of God seen in the creation, but it's also seen in his highest creation, which is the creation of mankind himself. Think about that. I saw a beautiful a red bird. I call them red birds. You know, in South Carolina, we cardinal, I know, but red bird's easier for a redneck to say. We talk about red bugs, not chiggers, you know. And but I saw a beautiful, but he was so, it was a male. You can always tell because the real red one is always a female. But this one was, usually the male is part brown and part red. Well, this one was mixed in such bright colors. They looked orange the other day. I saw one. Beautiful, beautiful. There's a hawk lives in our neighborhood, two of them. And boy, those hawks just swoop down and they soar, you know. Beautiful. In the creation of God, my wife and I sit out on the deck and eat breakfast a lot of times now that it's warm weather, and we'll sit there and watch the sun come up through those trees, and it's just, we're just amazed at the beauty. And all that's good. We're going to spend, y'all paid for it, we're going to Georgetown a couple of days, Monday and Tuesday, and we'll come back Wednesday to be here for church. I don't go to parties on church. I mean, but we're going to be back. And but we'll go down there, and I look at that ocean, and it always astounds me just to stand there and look at the ocean and think about how small I am in this great creation. But the Bible says that mankind is fearfully and wonderfully made. Doesn't say that about any other creation, only mankind. And God created man to fellowship with him. So therefore, we can see the goodness of God in the highest creation, which is man himself. Even unregenerated people, people that have never been converted, as I preached about this morning, they try to do goodness. They try. They fail miserably, but they try, and the reason they try is because they're made in the image of God. I'm not saying that you can't do any good, but I'm saying good is not your natural state. You understand? And you can go against your natural. So we see mankind and we say, that's the greatest creation in all the universe. And God did that. I mean, a lot of animals have eyes and limbs and can walk and move around. But mankind can walk and talk and think and make intelligent decisions and love and hate and be sorrowful and be happy and have the emotions of God himself. And so when we look at any of mankind, we can see God. Amen. And so we see God, I think, in his creation. Then I thought about this. We can see the goodness of God in the creatures. The creatures of earth. Turn to Psalm 145, verse 15 and 16. I'm just telling you what the Bible says, okay? Psalm 145, verse 15 and 16. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thy hand and satisfiest the desire of what? Every living thing. Every living thing. Now, God feeds everything. God takes care of everything. And so when we think about the goodness of God, we can see how God treats his creatures. We got a couple of bunny rabbits live in the yard. There's a time they'd be in danger. But he feeds me better than he feeds them, so I'm not hunting them anymore. Amen. They used to be in grave danger. Now the hawk might want them. I don't care nothing about skinning them. A couple of little bunny rabbits, you know, we got squirrels living there. And did you know they never knock on my door and ask for a handout? Because God takes care of his creatures. From his own hand, it says that. From his own hand, all right. He feeds these. We got some deer in our neighborhood. Occasionally we might have to stop so it won't hit a deer. And did you know they've never knocked on my door and asked for a handout? God takes care of his creatures. And we see that in all the creatures of the wood. You'll see God's in that. Amen? Think about that. One of the most beautiful things I ever saw one time is I pulled up to a stop sign way out here off of Turkey Creek Road somewhere, and I was out visiting one night, and across from the stop sign was there's a road, and then there's a big pasture out there, and I counted them. There was one buck deer, I guess that's what you call a male deer, and he had 10 wives. They were all out there in that field together, just eating, enjoying life. And God feeding that big old bunch. Amen. And so beautiful, so beautiful. Me and wife almost run over a doe and her little baby is one that, I don't know, must have been 3 or 4 fawns with her crossing the road. We had to stop and let them cross. And just beautiful things. And God takes care of them. God takes care of them. You can see the goodness of God in the creatures that He created. Amen? Even snakes and things like that that you and I hate, He takes care of them. Amen? He feeds the lion so the lion won't eat you. He takes care of them. And but then I thought about the goodness of God in the natural things in that same chapter of Psalm 145, verse 9. 145, verse 9. The Lord is good to all. And His tender mercies are over all His works. God's good to you and everything. God's good to everything. And we might complain about the heat and pray for rain, then we curse the rain. But God knows what to do and when to do it and how to do it. He knows exactly what we need. Amen?
Amen.
And so God's good to all of the natural pleasures. We go down there at the ocean, God made that for us. We go to the mountains, God made those for us. We look up in the sky, we see that beautiful moon, God made that for us. So in all the natural pleasures of the earth. Psalm 33:5. Think about this. Boy, I like this one. Psalm 33:5. He says this. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of God. Did you know the whole earth shows the goodness of God? You can look at a rock and say, there's the goodness of God. You can look at a stick and say, there's the goodness of God. You can look at an owl and say, there's the goodness of God. A hawk's the goodness of God. You can see old rattlesnake and say, there's the goodness of God. The whole earth, everything demonstrates and shows the goodness of God. And a lot of people are too blind to see it. Amen. They curse His creation. They curse the rain when it rains when they don't want it to rain. They curse the sun when it's hot when they don't want it to be hot. They curse the animals. They curse the forest or whatever else. They make fun of it. But did you know that? We're going to go a step farther than that. 1 Timothy chapter 4, look at verse 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4. And I preached it this morning. Our churches are dying for a lack of biblical knowledge. Now the Southern Baptist Convention is in on this global warming junk. They act like God didn't know any of this stuff.
Wow.
They act like it shocked God. I saw the other day we're in Alaska, Fairbanks, it was 70 degrees and broke a record. Well, the record just went back to 1979. It was probably 70 degrees in 1954. Nobody wrote it down. But the high there had been a 67 degrees. I said, big deal. And they're talking about all the ice melting. I said, you couldn't melt all the ice up there in 10 summers, much less one that got 3 degrees warmer or so. Amen. And so they look at it and they don't understand. All that works together for the goodness and the greatness of God. God's in every bit of that.
That's right.
1 Timothy chapter 4, look at verse 4. He says, for every creature of God is good.
Amen.
Every creature of God is good. And nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving.
Amen.
Some people said, I wouldn't eat that. Well, if you prayed over it and you ain't got nothing else, you can eat that. Amen.
Amen.
Some little old kid walk up to the table and you got collard greens on there and that's what you was raised on, collard greens. And they turn their nose up and say, hey, I'm not going to eat that. So I'd look at them and say, starve in you heathen. God made that out of His goodness. He didn't have to make that. Amen. 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 And so all of creation, everything that God made is good. Would you agree with me? Amen. I'm glad you would, because whether you do or not, it's still true. Listen, Matthew 5:45, if you will. Matthew 5:45. Let's don't die for a lack of knowledge around here. Matthew 5:45. By the way, isn't it kind of strange the people that have the PhD seem like the dumbest people in America? They're educated beyond their abilities. Let that sink in. I met this preacher one day. We were looking for buildings. You know, I was looking for a building. They had this old building out there, and he pastors uptown, and he's kind of, he's younger than me, of course, which is not a great deal, but was younger than me. And as I was talking to him, he began to brag about his studies and how he's working on a PhD. And how he's having to write a thesis and all this stuff. Like the poor country preacher wouldn't know what he was talking about and would be impressed. Yes. And I said, that ain't nothing. I got three of them. He said, you got three PhDs? I said, yes, sir. Post hole diggers. They hanging on the back of my storage building. I said, that ain't no big deal. He just looked at me. He didn't know how to take that course. He couldn't help it. He was a Yankee. But anyway... Isn't it funny how people think they're so much more intelligent than God and the Bible, even those that claim to be believers? And then they worry about the ecology. They worry about the oceans. They worry about the forest. They worry about the wildlife. Well, what would they know? They all live in cities that talk like that. And those of us that live out here and see the creation of God, and we partake in the creation of God, and see the goodness of God, we say, God's not going to let anything happen to that. He's too good. Amen? You remember the Exxon Valdez, I think it was, oil disaster in the Gulf of Mexico. We sit there and watch live TV for hour after hour. They done run a camera down that deep because people couldn't go down there. And we watched the oil bubble out that tore up an oil rig going up, you know. And the news people got all the PhDs and the intellectuals, you know, on there. And they were interviewing them and talking about what a disaster this is going to be. This is going to ruin our part of the world for so many centuries. It's going to be thousands of years. It's going to affect all the wildlife. It's going to kill all the fish. And it's going to destroy the ecology, you know. And it's going up into the Gulf of Mexico and getting all up in the marshes and killing all that stuff. Y'all remember that? And they talked hours on end about that stuff. We all sitting there saying, oh no, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. And did you know what? About a year ago now, I didn't, by the way, you ain't heard nothing else about it. You didn't hear nothing else about it a couple months after it happened. But I heard something a while back. Said scientists had discovered there's a some kind of little microbe that lives in the ocean that loves to eat oil. And them little things went up in the marshes and all over the Gulf of Mexico, and they eat every stinking bit of that stuff. They can't hardly find anything left over from it. God's good. They're just too smart to see it. That's all. Amen. Did you know the half of his goodness has never been told? Did you know the half of his goodness has never been experienced? Now, God's been good to me. Would you say that? God's been good to us. If we got what we deserve, we'd be in big trouble. If we got what we deserve since we've accepted Christ, we'd be in big trouble. Amen. Amen. God's been good to us. We've not seen half of his goodness. You got to look to heaven to see the whole goodness of God. And we haven't been there yet. Amen. Now the Bible gives us little glimpses of it. And what he shows us, we don't deserve. Nobody in here. There's never been anybody that deserves a little bit that we know about the goodness of God relating to heaven. Paul said he went, and God let him come back. And he said, it's so good, it's not lawful that I tell you how good it is. You know why? If we'd known how good heaven was, we'd all be jumping over a cliff or something trying to get there quick. Amen? Amen, amen. God wants us to stay down here a while. And the half of his power, the half of his power has not yet been told. Now we know the greatest power he has is the power of God unto salvation to save old sin sick soul like mine and yours. We know that's the most powerful thing. The blood of Jesus Christ washes away our sins. That's the most powerful thing in the universe right there. But we don't know the whole of his power. Now again, those educated and those who are so much smarter than us, they said one day something just run into something. No, nothing run into nothing. And there was a big bang. How do you get a bang out of nothing run into nothing? I don't know. Believing themselves to be wise, they became as fools, as Romans 1 says. But they say nothing run into nothing, and there was a big bang, and it threw out all this stuff, and it evolved into everything we see today. And they say that was the most powerful thing that's ever happened in the universe. Well, there wasn't no universe.
Yeah. Right.
How could that happen if there was no universe? Where did it come from? I'm going to tell you what happened. God walked out on the edge of nothing one day and said, boom, he started. Let there be. Let there be. Let there be. Let there be. And that's your big boom.
Amen.
The voice of God coming out of heaven. Amen. And he made everything. The Bible says he made everything out of nothing. He said the things that we see were made of things that are unseen. Nothing. And again, you'll get these smarter than we are people, and they'll say, well, man has created so many wonderful things. Man has never created anything.
That's right.
Man takes what God's already created and reshapes it and makes it into something else, but he didn't create it. They did. They rearranged it. That's all they did. They took dirt and melted it down and made steel out of it. Amen? I'll give you a good example. These gases that we have to have. People have to have oxygen, and they've got to have nitrogen, and you got to have all these things for cutting and welding and helium and all these things. And we say, man is really smart. He's made all that stuff. No, he didn't. Go out on Red River Road. Well, that's what we call it. The foreigners renamed it Sail River Road. Go out on Sail River Road, where you live, sis. There's a big old metal wall there, and behind it there's these big giant tanks, and there's machinery out there pulling in the atmosphere and separating the gases and selling it and making millions of what God created.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. My father-in-law said everything's free. You just have to pay somebody to work it. Dirt's free, but you got to pay somebody to go get it, bring it to you, and dump it out. Amen. But man, never. God's good. God's power is so good. We've never even seen but half of it, and it's yet to be told what God can do.
Amen.
The half of His wisdom's yet to be told. The half of His wisdom. Now, man naturally has no wisdom. Think about this. Man's really as dumb as a box of rocks. If you don't believe it, ask any wife. Is that right, Sister Mary? She ain't going to say amen. You go ahead. I'm going to let him bother you. Go ahead. Amen. Love is a many splendor thing. Listen. But half his wisdom never been told. Compared to the foolishness of the world as to our redemption and to his creating power, it took a lot of wisdom to create these things, more than we ever knew, more than we'll ever know reading books or going to any school. We only know the half of them. That's the half that we see. We don't see the unseen part. And then the power and the goodness of his redemption, how he saves sinners, all we see is the final results. We don't see how it happened.
Amen.
And God in his goodness worked all of the things that he put you through to bring you to Jesus Christ.
That's right. Amen. Yes,
And we say, well, you got to fear God to be saved. He had to teach you to fear. You say, well, you got to be afraid of going to hell. You wouldn't know there was a hell if God wasn't good enough to tell you. You say, well, you got to know you want to go to heaven. Well, you wouldn't know there was a heaven if God wasn't good enough to tell you. Y'all see what I'm saying? And then you say, well, we got saved because we repented. No, you got saved because of the goodness of God. Because if He hadn't been good enough to show you these things, you wouldn't have known you needed to repent and be saved. And it's the goodness of God that bringeth thee to repentance.
Amen. Yeah.
It wasn't the fear of God that saved you. It's the fear of God that, drove you toward Him. It was His goodness that saved you.
Amen.
And it was His goodness that taught you to fear Him. You didn't fear God. It's not the might of God that saves sinners. It's not. He doesn't make us get saved. Now, our misled Calvinist brothers thinks He does. But He doesn't. We just read the verse. It's the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance, not makes thee get saved, whosoever will call can be saved. So we know that the goodness of God is not by His might that He saves us. He submitted Himself to the cross. So therefore, He could have called down 10,000 angels and stopped it all. But it's the goodness of God that let Him go to the cross. It's the goodness of God that led you to the cross.
Yes.
He didn't drag you. I've heard people get up and testify like God drug them to the cross and saved them. No, sir. No, sir. We love Him because He first loved us. The cross shows us the love of God, the goodness of God, and that attracts us to His love, and then we receive Christ and the love of God moves in us.
Amen.
It's not His might that saved you. It's His might that created hell. It's His might that created heaven. It's His might that cast out Satan and his angels. But God so loved you that it led you to repentance and you were saved. A lot of people think God's got a baseball bat, He's just driving people to the cross. No, sir, He'll give you a choice. It wasn't His wisdom that redeems us. It was. Now, He's wise. He's all wise, all knowing, you know. He knows everything. He knows yesterday from tomorrow. He knows everything. But that's not what saves us. It wasn't His wisdom that saved us. Now, it was His wisdom that set up the cross and the crucifixion and the resurrection, but that's not what saved you. That's His plan. He had the wisdom to do that before the foundation of the world was ever laid. He went ahead and made the plan because He knew what man would be. So He had to make a plan to save us before He ever created us. That was His wisdom. But that's not what saved you. You see, whenever we look at these things, we say, who am I that He would redeem somebody like me? Who am I?
Amen.
Now, the Calvinist brothers say, well, you're the elected. And I'd say, no, sir, you're not. Israel's the elected. He calls you in love. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He calls us in love. And so He's not forcing us. He's not in His wisdom manipulating us or tricking us into being saved. So when we get real honest about it, we look at it and we say, God's good. And I'm not. And God's so good He can love a sinner like me. And then we agree with Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness or forbearance and long suffering? We don't despise it anymore. not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Now, if you don't recognize His goodness, the next verse, Luke verse 5. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. So if you don't look to the goodness of God, you're going to look to the judgment of God. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm not getting what I deserve.
Amen.
The Southern Baptist Convention preaching on justice now. I don't want justice. I don't want it. You don't either. I want goodness. I want the goodness of God. I don't want the judgment of God. I don't want the justice of God. I want the mercy of God. And only in His goodness can He dole out mercy. Amen? Now, if all He was a righteous judge, we'd all go to hell. But thank God for His goodness that sinners like you and I can be saved. Let's don't stop there. Thank God for His goodness that sinners like you and I can be kept saved by the power of God unto salvation. That's His goodness. He could have saved you, Brother Ron, and said, all right, now you're on your own. You'd have never made it. You'd have failed day after. You'd be dead in hell now if it was the judgment of God, not the mercy, the grace, and the goodness of God. We'd all be dead in hell right now. We could not keep ourselves. It's His goodness that saves us. It's His goodness that keeps us. And it's His goodness that will present us faultless before His presence with exceeding joy. It's all His goodness, every bit of it, because God is good.
Yes.
I'm not just talking about the act of good. I say God is good. That's what He's made out of. That's His substance. That's His being. God is good. I don't know. I don't know everybody's heart that's in here today. I wish they'd have come back tonight to hear this. I preached on what a kind of church member that this church and every Bible-believing church needs and is supposed to have. Tonight, they needed to hear how good God is. You know, when I realize that, it makes me a better Christian.
Yes, sir.
It does. Because if all I ever thought of, like when I was a lost sinner, him hanging that sickle, that big knife over me, ready to cut my head off, I'd have give up. I'd have give up. I mean, since I've been saved. I mean, if all I thought about was the judgment of God through the power of God, I'd have said, I can't make it. And I used to tell that preacher that. I can't do it, preacher. I can't live it. And he said, you don't have to live it. He lived it for you. That's the goodness of God. God's good to sinners. But He's better to saints. God, now somebody asked me one day, they sent me a Facebook message, said, you think God has favorites? I said, yeah, I do. I said, God's good to everybody. Even lost sinners, if they got what they deserved, if it wasn't for the goodness of God, they wouldn't live another day. He's long-suffering. He's good. But the saints, He's even gooder. And to those who try to live and love and do right by Him, He's even goodest. He blesses His children. He blesses faithfulness. Now, He'll be good to failure, but He blesses faithfulness. And I'm glad God's good. And sometimes God's been real good to me. And He's always been good. But sometimes I can look up to heaven and say, Lord, that was real good, Lord.
Yes, sir.
Some Sundays I can walk out here and say, God, today was, every Sunday here is good. But I can walk out here and say, Lord, today was real good. Today was gooder than last Sunday. And that makes me want to do even gooder myself. Amen? Amen. That's my wife teaching master's degree and my daughter's master's degree. And I'm saying gooder, 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 gooder. But he's good. Amen.
Yes.
Now, if you're not saved today, he's been good enough to let you hear the gospel. He didn't have to do that. But hey, if you're not saved today, he's been good enough to let you be born in a free country where you can hear the gospel. He's good. Amen. If you are saved and you got out of the will of God, did you know he's good enough to let you come back in?
Yes, he is.
Matter of fact, he's chasing you right now. He's so good. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's good. We'll leave out here tonight and just thank God for how good he is. Amen. Amen. I don't know where to quit. I could go on and on and on because he's good.
Yes.
Let's stand. Father, we do thank you.